Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, baby. I saw your sister yesterday. She said that you was going to leave because I lost my job. Is that really true?
I know that times are hard right now. The word is out that our marriage won't last. Listen, listen, baby, to what I have to say. Forever,
forever, and ever.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the Leopard Carpet. Tonight, my featured guest is Matte, and we were just listening to the title track to her new CD, Sincerely, I'm Yours. This is a special woman, and I'm very, very excited and honored to have her come on the show with me this evening. She's got a great story. She's just heartfelt. She's somebody that I believe will have you walking away from hearing her story and hearing her sound, just feeling good, believing in family, believing in committed relationships, believing in falling in love, and knowing that you can work through the struggles of a relationship when the times get tough. So I want to bring in my featured guest tonight, Matte. Welcome to the show, Mama.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, girl, it is my pleasure. You know, as I was telling you the other day on the phone, you know, I've been playing your CD in the car, and, you know, and I was listening to it as I was driving over here to the east side where I work, and, you know, it honestly, Matte, it is that feel-good music. It really does. I mean, you know, just really listening to the words, and, you know, it's almost like you get into the head of so many of us, and I'll speak on being a woman, you know, and how we might think and feel about, you know, relationships and, you know, being in love or being frustrated, being in love or a relationship gone bad, but you still can't get that person out of your mind or, you know, all of that. And it's like, wow, you know, she just really touches on a lot of subjects in her music that we feel, and it's like, but it's not like that music that makes you sad. It just makes you just feel
right. And see, I don't like, we got enough sad things going on in the world. So what I try to do is write and uplift and motivate, you know, inspire, you know, because we have a lot of other sad things going on, so we need some encouragement about moving on, looking forward, making a change. Just go ahead and accept things and grow from them. That's what I like to write about.
And I think that you, you know, I think you did just that with Sincerely, I'm Yours. You know, it is something that, I don't know, you know, just like we were talking on the phone, Matte, you know, I think that the way that society is right now and the way that people look at relationships, it really isn't about relationships anymore. It isn't about commitment. It isn't about family. And I really strongly believe, I'm a very big advocate, that art can help change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, through your music, if people were to take the time and just really listen and feel it, in a sense, through your art, through your sound, they can absorb where we need to go back to.
That's right. That's right. Particularly in a time where people are losing their jobs and the house is being foreclosed on, your pensions are being just taken away. And usually financial problems are the cause of families breaking up. You know, and what we need to do is try to motivate and support families who are trying to stick together, and, you know, and that's what I wanted my woman to say. My woman was saying to her man, look, we're going to hang on in there. We've been through things before. We're going to struggle. We're going to be all right. We're going to hang out together, and we're going to make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm with you. Not, you know, for better, for worse. But, you know, that's what we take our vows for. So I'm walking away from you because you lost your job. And that's mostly what's going on today. So, girl, I need money. Or, man, I need money. You know, I need to survive. You know, what about stepping up to the plate and say, this is what I can do to help things better, to make things better? And I'm thinking that's what I needed to tell a lot of women who have decided, or men, spouses, who has decided to hang on in there, and I'm with you, come whatever, you know, come
exactly.
whatever. Come on, we ready for this fight. We're going to hang on in there, and we're going to struggle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and come through it. You know,
that's
and come
right.
through it together. And it's funny that you brought up, you know, the wedding vows. And that's exactly what I was thinking, too. You know, how many people go before, you know, their preacher, or even if it's the judge or whatever, and take those vows, you know, for better or for worse. And Are they really understanding what they're saying?
I don't think a lot of people do. I really don't think a lot of people do. Now, I'm not saying to hang in there if you're in an abusive relationship, mental or physically.
Right.
But I'm saying that financial troubles are one of the biggest causes of splitting up a family. So what I'm saying is that if you're not working and your husband is the one that's footing the bill on everything and he loses his job, maybe you can go to him and say, honey, let's do this and let's try that. I'm not going to leave you. Let's just try to hang on in there and let's see what comes out. Let's work this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids are the biggest losers. Children
yes.
are the biggest losers in a relationship. You know, they're the ones who've grown up with the stability and have both of them in the family, and they don't want to see that go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why usually divorced children think they're the cause of the family breaking up.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's like, wow, if this hadn't happened, maybe mom and dad would be together. But I'm just saying, hang on in there. We're going to make this work. I love you. And if you notice in the part of the song, it's always somebody that's going to bring you the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Man, my sister going to leave you.
right. And you know that's how it works.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like when you step outside of your relationship and then you share your business with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
you know somebody's going to have an opinion, you know.
Yes.
And they're going to chime in and say, you know, this, that, and the other. But I don't know. I think, you know, and I agree with you, Maddie. It's not like you just stay in any relationship just because. I mean, it's definitely if there's abuse involved and this and that, you know, criminal activity, whatever. You know, it's not like we're advocating to stay in something that's unhealthy like that. But I do agree that through financial struggles with loss of jobs and incomes and downsizings and,
mm-hmm.
you know, foreclosures and all of these things, I do think that as a family unit, as a couple, people can find a way to stick together, to
mm-hmm.
still love each other, to
mm-hmm.
even in a sense find peace versus all of the bickering, you
mm-hmm.
know, because generally that stuff is on the outside. You know, that's coming in to cause the frustration. So if you can find some way of balancing that all out, and I honestly think we do live in a time of being creative, you know,
mm-hmm.
where get creative on how you make your money,
mm-hmm.
you know, last longer or,
mm-hmm.
you know, what other skills might you have that you never really thought about that you could tap into to either create a home business
that's getting close to home with me because we had to move to Florida because Don's mother became very ill and we wanted to be close by. So I had to quit a job at the University of Tennessee and we had to move to Florida and it was like starting all over. So the pay scale was not what I was accustomed to or even what he was accustomed to. So we had to figure out some way where we can make money and be at home with the kids and her too. And we came up, we start sewing. I start sewing for a living. And believe it or not, I started making blouses at $4. Labor. And labor. And then when I looked up, I was exclusive, and I was making blouses for $40. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. And then when I look up, I was making them $400. So it was just a longevity. And, you know, I stuck in there.
Okay.
We proved ourselves to be good seamstress, good tailors.
Mm-hmm.
We expanded the business to upholstery. And now we still have our cut and sew business in Pensacola, Florida. It's a family operation. And we started in 1986. And it's been going on and going on. And that's what I mean by when you were talking about being creative. Well, we used to go and take furniture that people had thrown out. We'd go to the thrift stores, and we'd invest in upholstery fabric. And we'd do it like, you know, make it attractive and affordable and well-built so that people could afford it. And
mm-hmm.
when we looked up, there were girls, families in, like, the apartment complexes We sold one set of furniture to one set of, you know, one family, and mm-hmm. they come back to us and say, look, my friend needs a sofa and love seat and chair. Can you hook them up? And all
wow.
that is this. And that's how we came our name. We found a need, and we
yeah.
serviced it.
And, you know, and that's, I think that's something that's key, Maté, that, you know, you kind of tap into your creativity, but you also kind of be able to explore and determine what, you know, what the need of, you know, whether it be the community that you're in or, you know, the town or city or state that you're in or whatever, what might be something that people need. I think that's how, like, for instance, daycares get started. You know, somebody is good with children. They start watching kids, and word of mouth kind of gets around, and next thing you know, it, you know, they're a full-fledged licensed daycare or something,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So I think that's a great story. That
yeah,
is,
it's all about treating people as you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we did our furniture, we made it attractive, so it was something that they could be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, affordable. If they couldn't afford but $200 for a love seat, sofa, or chair or something like that, we would meet that need and say, okay, don't worry about it. We got your back. And that's exactly
right.
what we did, you know. So you can see a need in a community, and not only can it benefit you, but it can also service and benefit someone else.
Definitely.
See, you know.
Well, you know, I think there's nothing better than something that's homemade,
yeah.
you know. You know, there's just something that's special about that, just kind of touch, you know. Then, I mean, of course, we all love going shopping right at the mall or whatever when we got some money. But I think there's something special about something homemade. And, I mean, you know, to get a piece of furniture that's, you know, reupholstered, and you just love it. You know, you just love the fabric and the look and how it makes your room feel or whatever. And
yeah,
I think a lot of it.
It's the personality.
Right. And, you know, and furniture plays a very big role in creating a home.
That's right. That's right. And
you
what
know,
we wanted to do was, and I pretty much know, I think you have some idea about the community that we were servicing.
Mm-hmm.
Low income,
mm-hmm.
that was struggling. And
right.
so, and they want nice things. We all want nice things.
Right.
And somebody who hasn't been there, I think they're not really admitting to the fact that everybody struggles once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that we have to be able to be sensitive to that situation. Because look at us, we were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew what the need was, and we knew the ability we had, and we just met that need. We was like, okay, we used to be in that position, we are in that position, we can have somebody else come up. And you can't believe how much pride there is, because word of mouth is the best source of advertising you have. If you're my neighbor and you come home and say, girl, look at what I got, and these people did that, and look how beautiful it is, and I'm so proud of it. And they
mm-hmm.
say, can you do that for me? Can
mm-hmm.
they do that for me? Get them on the phone. Can they do that
right.
for me? You know,
right.
so that's what we were happy about doing. And we still have that reputation today.
Well, you know, I am sitting here listening to this, and this is something that you and John did not touch on with me, which is cool, which is very good, you know, because
uh-huh.
I get to learn something new, you know, as we speak tonight on the leopard carpet. But, you know, in listening to you, I don't know if you realize it or ever thought about it, you very much are a role model and mentor type person. I
oh,
mean, when,
thanks.
You know, in hearing how you made something out of nothing, in a sense, right? You
yeah.
are providing something, clothing for women to make them feel pretty. That's
mm-hmm.
a, you know, that just, you know, make, you know, because there's nothing like putting on something that just makes you feel good, right?
Feel good, yeah. Not only that, we had to come up some way that we or I could stay at home with my children. You know, and make sure that I volunteered at the school and was active
mm-hmm.
at the school.
Right.
And nowadays we grow up where there are two families working. I mean, the two parents
mm-hmm.
work, and they're
mm-hmm.
not at home.
Right.
And nine times out of kids are latchkey kids. Mm-hmm. So we were very concerned. We had five children. We wanted to make sure that they had that mother's touch. So we had to come up with something that I could do at home as well as John could do at home. Now, he worked out in the public and everything. He went from insurance man. He did things. But what I tried to do was supplement the income or to bring some extra in. And
sure.
Before we knew it, it became our main source of income. It's wow. Because we worked at it. And not only that, my kids saw us working.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, so, you know, and I was at home and I could take a break and go in there and do homework. John would make sure the dinner was on the table. So there's a lot of things that we can do to make sure that our family unit works. And I was always afraid of my kids, and not saying there's nothing wrong with that. It was just our choice that mm-hmm. we be hands-on
sure.
at home and hands-on
sure.
at school. So we'll make sure that our kids were getting a certain value. And what happens is that seemed to stimulate other people in the community. It's like, Maddie, how do you do that, girl? Look, you know, how do you feed five children? I don't know, five kids. The food is on the table. We do it. How do you clothe them? Well, I made their clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd sit up and make their clothes. So,
right.
And that was that way. I'm going to tell you why I started making their clothes a lot. I lost one of them at the mall one day. And you get so nervous about
mm-hmm.
what they had on or whatever. So I started dressing them alike. The older boys would have the button-down shirts. And the other
okay.
boys, yeah, the button-down shirts with the coveralls. So I would know, well, he had on this.
Right,
and
right.
So not only did it serve as community, but it helped me keep my kids together, too.
Oh, that's funny. You know what? I hope you and John are writing a book. I do. You know, sometimes when I have conversations with the artists, I'm like, you're so interesting. You have such a story. And the reason why I would encourage you to write a book, Matte, is that, you know, that's your history.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is something that your children can always be aware of and can be passed on to your grandchildren and great-grandchildren and all of that, because that is strong sense of family values.
Mm-hmm. Even today, Lady Flavor, what I do is I'm a coupon fanatic.
Okay.
You know, I do things, and that comes from, you know, when you're struggling, when you first begin to come, you know, get together and getting married and stuff, and you start having children, then you have to figure out ways to save money and
yeah.
to feed those children. And even today, I am still a coupon advocate. Let me tell you, I use my internet, I use my newspaper, and honey, if you let me hold your magazine, you might miss some. You say, what happened to this page?
Oh, you
yeah,
are so funny.
So it's a lot of ways that a family
yeah.
can stay together, like you say, if you're creative.
You know, it feels like you could be like a couples counselor or something, you know. It's like, huh, okay, I did bring on an artist right onto the show. I'm loving this, though. I love it because, you know, I was putting it out there, Maddie, that that people, if they came to the show, whether they came live or whether they come back and listen to the archives because of everybody's different time differences,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to walk away really honestly feeling like they met a soulful spirit, one that reached into them, made them maybe, you know, would make them remember a time and place that they'd kind of forgotten, or walk away, you know, really maybe looking at that loved one in a different light,
mm-hmm.
you know, having a new appreciation, or, you know, or just like for me, I'm single, so it was like, you know, maybe I could fall in love again at the age of 50, you know. So it's just that, yeah, this is amazing. But why don't I play another piece,
okay.
so that as people come into the show, they can just continue to get a taste of your flavor throughout the show.
Okay.
So let's see. I think I'm going to play I Belong to You, and this is by my featured guest tonight, Matte.
Thank you.
that I won't stay. Don't turn away, babe. I'll be here always without faith. Isn't it good? You make me feel good. Just know when you're here beside me, there'll be a way.
We were just listening to I Belong to You by my featured guest tonight on the Leopard Carpet, Matte. And if you are just tuning in, you really need to come back and check out the first part of the show, because she's just spitting some just down-home, motherly, girlfriend, sister, you know, just wisdom. And I'm just absolutely loving it. I have an auntie in Chicago who... when I would go to Chicago or she comes to Seattle, you know, we would sit and crochet together, and she would just tell me, you know, she would tell me stories, you know, back in the day and stuff. And it just, I just feel like, you know, you're just one of those people. I would just love to just be in your presence and listen to your stories and, you know, have conversations and drink coffee and just, you know, get to know you deeper, you know. So, you know, since you know, I did bring you on as a as an artist versus, you know, a marriage counselor and
I'm not a
family
guy. Because God knows I've got my problems. But, you know, it's difficult being in the music business and trying to stay married. And, you know, a lot of people can witness that because you see it every day, you know. So, you know, you're not exempt from having your problems. But, you know, if you look at yourself deeply and try to be honest with yourself, and I tell you what, the biggest thing is communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got another person that's not communicating with, well, you're out of luck. Because you've got to have that other person trying to understand you, you know, and vice versa. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that John appears to be very much a communicator.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Like I told him, I says, you know, at a later date, I'm going to have him come back on the show, because I think he's got some stories and his own wisdom,
listen,
you know, to share.
I have to find 2 hours worth of conversation with John, because John will talk you into 5 and 6 hours, okay?
He's interesting, though, you know, and I love talking to people that just have great stories, and just, you know, there's such an enthusiasm about him that the two of you just must be, you know, just an amazing couple to be around. So one day I'm going to have that opportunity.
Well, you're more than welcome. You can come to Florida, or when you visit Florida, that's fine, or when you come to Chicago to visit
right.
your aunt, that would be great. But, you know, it's funny. You're located in Seattle, and some kind of way it intertwines into my life because I don't know if you're familiar with an artist, Larry Lee, that used to be Jimi Hendrix's lead guitar player.
Okay.
Uh-huh. He introduced us. Matter of fact, he
wow.
picked Todd out for me. Yeah, he was like, hey, you know, I got some. I'm like, will you get out of here? I don't want to know anybody. I'm
wow.
single, having a good time. And John, he introduced me to John, and he told John, I got the perfect girl for you. And that's what happened. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I've been hurt, and I had baggage,
yeah.
you know, like
uh-huh.
most women do.
Yeah.
And I was bringing things to the relationship.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, sometimes you have to let things go.
Right.
And those women that said you have it, yeah.
right.
We've
right.
all accepted some things we don't want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll try and move on. But you have to kind of make things positive. You know, concentrate on the positive. That's
right.
what I do. But I couldn't wait to tell you that, you know, Larry Lee was the one that brought us.
Wow.
To-
mm-hmm. See?
And it, by way of Seattle, Washington. Yeah.
Isn't
and
that
I'm happy.
Funny. That's funny. You know, see, you just held out on me. But that's okay. That's okay. I forgive you because, you know, this is a great story. This is a great time. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to have to, yeah, I'm going to find my way down there to hang out with you guys, you know, one way or another. But so Maddie, why don't you talk about yourself as an artist and, you know, where did it really begin for you where you just, you know, maybe understood, even if it was a child, that you had a gift?
Growing up, my mother used to make stacks, clothes, costumes mm-hmm. for Rufus Thomas and William Bell, and I sold children used to come through there and pick up clothes, and Rufus, I used to love the way people used to just, when he'd pull up in front of our house, everybody, that's Rufus Thomas, that's Rufus Thomas. And I was like, oh, when I grow up, I want to be like that. And I had brothers that played the guitar. I learned to play the guitar at an early age, lead guitar and bass guitar.
Okay.
And now I play timbales and congos and bongos. So that's where I get that from. My brothers used to be with Ebony Webb. And then not only that, I used to live down, well, two apartments down from Maurice White or Verve Wynn and Fleet. Yeah, we used to call him Sandy.
Okay.
Yeah, we used to call him Sandy. And I'm not going to embarrass him or what he used to do, but we
right.
used to call him Sandy with his hair because he was like, you know, because he used to be red when he was young. So
mm-hmm.
I was around a lot of musicians. mm-hmm. And then Larry Lee, I used to say, Larry, I want to sing, and I can sing because my mother used to sing on radio a long time ago when she first started out, and she used to sing, how much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggiest tail. And we used to say, Mama's on the radio. We used to love to hear that. And that's where I got my biggest influence from. And I think, basically, now that we're talking, I think it was from Mama.
Mm.
It was from my mother singing those little commercials and singing those little kiddie songs on the radio.
Right.
And I used to be real, real quiet, believe it or not. I used to sit back because I'm the eighth of nine children.
Okay.
So it's not too much you can get said in a household with nine children.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to sit back and just write poetry. My mother said, why don't you put it to song, you know, put it to a melody, and that's what happened. And as I got older, I used to hang out with Larry used to come and get me and let me sit there while they would practice with a band rehearsal and
mm-hmm.
everything, because he was with Al Green, too. And so he started out with the band of gypsies,
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so I told him at 16 I want to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I one day he heard me, and he tried me out as background on his album, and then he started just introducing me into the band, and that's how I got to sing.
Wow.
I joined the Boomerangs with Larry Lee, and I'm so proud of that because not too many people can say they work with Larry Lee. Lawrence Lee.
Right.
Yeah, and ooh, I'm so proud when I Google his name or what is that, Wikipedia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you do that, I'm so proud of. And I'm like, how come they mention me? So I got to do something about this.
So back then, I guess you really, did you know that you were like being surrounded by like greatness?
No. They're just regular people.
Right.
You know, they play four corners with you, you know, with the basketball. They do hopscotch with you. They kid around. They tell mama jokes your mama jokes. And you just never know that they're that talented, you know, because
right.
Maurice was a drummer, is a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to play drums all the time. And, you know, you don't know, and you talk about it, you don't expect for them to get big like that. But we were so happy he would send us all his albums when he was with Ramsey Lewis.
Mm.
And then when he went from Ramsey Lewis to Earth, Wind, and Fire,
right.
And we was like, oh, he's famous. You know, we were so proud of him. Yeah. So and then
wow.
Larry would come home from London, England, and bring us these gifts from France. And I was just surrounded by entertainment. Perry Allen was a DJ, and we consider him our uncle. And he was a big influence on us, too. So he kept the stars running through our household, you know. He would say, come on, I've got so-and-so here, and want y'all to meet him, and he would bring them by. And me being so quiet, I'd just sit there and look at them and just be amazed at what they can do and how people react to them when they come, you know, they come around. You know, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
One day, I'm going to tell you this story. We were, Larry had come to Pensacola one time, and I think I was probably 9 months pregnant. I had stopped singing with him and had moved to Pensacola. And him and Al Green had done a show there, and he comes to town. And after performance, he's like, oh, I'm so hungry. So we call ourselves going to go to breakfast. And this place was just packed with people. And when we walked in, we decided, he said, well, I got to catch a plane, so let's go. And this couple, these people just stood up and go, Larry Lee. Larry Lee, you can have our table. And they was right in the middle of eating. And I'm like, hey, this is some good stuff. If you just give me your autograph, you can have our table. And everybody at the table agreed. And he was like, yeah, I can do that. So he signed an autograph, and the people got up and moved. I don't know where they moved, but we got our breakfast. And I'm like, that is amazing how people recognize him and were so proud of him, and his music.
Wow.
So I like that. But basically, the reason why I write is that I got tired of negative stuff. You know, you're no good, you're a scrub, and stuff like that. And I just wanted to give some encouragement. You know, I'm always rooting for the person that's not doing so well. You know, because
sure.
I was the eighth child. You know, come on, you get picked on a lot when you're
right.
the eighth child.
Okay.
So I was like, give the person that's having a hard time a break, you know.
That's
why I write the way I do. I don't like to write sad songs. Because I don't want to be sad. Nobody likes to be sad.
Right.
You know, and I try to not write angry songs. You know, now if the situation moves me to do it, then so be it. But I try to write happy songs, you know, to motivate me. Now, I guess it keeps me okay.
Right.
You know, well, not only, to help somebody else, but to keep me okay.
Sure. I would imagine, you know, in any type of art, and especially when you have the talent to be able to write, that it is therapeutic. That sometimes, you know, I mean, I hear it time and time again where artists say that, you know, it's you know, they're writing from their emotions or they're creating from their emotions, so that totally makes sense. But Maddie, we do have a caller that's been patiently hanging on the line, so let me bring them in.
Okay.
All right, John D. Green Sr., you are live with Miss Maddie.
Hey, Lady Flavor. Hey, Maddie.
Hi, how are you?
I am well.
Good.
I have a story for you.
Okay.
So, my life, I'm married, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Life is always hectic, whether it be music or movies or home life. So let me tell you what I do.
Okay.
In my mind, in my own mental fantasy, I have a 36-foot all-stellar full regalia sailing boat.
Wow.
And I'm wearing in white cotton, just like the brother in the Old Spice commercial.
Okay.
And when I sail, your song, I Belong to You, is always my soundtrack.
Oh,
that's
great.
My background music. Whether it be on the set and things are hectic, or in the studio when things are hectic, when I need to get away, that track
great.
Is playing, and I'm sailing on. I'm just sailing on. I thought you should know how powerful your music is.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so wonderful to hear. You really put a smile on my face.
Well,
I really appreciate that.
You might not smile when you realize that in your song, when it's playing in the soundtrack, the I Belong to You part is that's my boat singing to me. But hey, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's your baby. Your baby brings you comfort and you're settling.
It does.
Yeah.
That's your beautiful, beautiful track. It's beautiful. It's everything about it is beautiful. I've always been amazed by it. I like the harmonies. I like the flow. It just,
thank you.
It's a molding track. You could, if it started really low and then it reached its plateau as far as pitch, and then it went back low again. It fades right into your life, your daydreams, or in my case, my regalia, you know, my full offset.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful track, and I wanted you to know that I'm a big, big, big fan.
Thank you. Well, could you do me a favor, if Lady
sure.
Favor doesn't mind, when you're on that beautiful boat sailing, could you send her a picture of you sailing in that white? Ladies, I think everybody wants to see this one, okay?
Well, you know
yeah,
what? Here's the
so
thing.
Too, huh?
All Johns, I'm starting to think after listening to you and your conversation, us Johns seem to do really well in the attracting the right woman for the
all
long-term
right.
commitment, because I have an amazing woman. It just so happens my name is John. So I'm thinking maybe us Johns are setting a trend. So to your
there
John,
you go. Huh.
I salute you, sir. Because I've lucked up and I have an amazing wife of my own, and it just so happens my name is John.
Well, you know, the thing is, Maddie, is John D. Green Sr., who's on the phone right now with you, is he is a singer, composer, musician, and actor out of Detroit, Michigan.
Oh, wow. That's even a greater honor to have someone in your oh,
he's your peer, so.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, that is so nice. I'm so happy. Thank you so much. When it comes
thank you.
From, when it comes from somebody with all these accomplishments, I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, we're fan. Well, I like to say anyway, Mike, I'm a fan first, you know, because I was listening to music and before I even picked up, you know, before I snuck onto the first piano, I was listening and enjoying and, you know, getting into, you know, finding my Stevie Wonder licks, you know. So I'm always a fan first. And when it's music like your music, wow. You know, it's so easy to become a big, lifelong fan. So I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it. And don't forget, I'm not going to let you slide. I know
exactly.
The missus is proud of you, too, but let us see you on that boat.
You know what? When it finally comes true and it's no longer a fantasy, I will. The biggest poster picture I get. Because this is just in my mind. My boat ride is mental.
Well, let's say the first thing, order of business, is when you get that land that sitcom, that's what you got to get.
Yeah, the sitcoms and matter of fact, it's funny that you played the song today and yesterday on the set. It was so hectic because MTV, their sets are so hectic. I mean, so many people running around and doing things. I had to take 5 minutes, and one of my cast members said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm on my boat." "You ever heard this song?" He looked at me and said, "Man, what song?" I had my eyes closed. "Have you ever heard this song?" He said, "What song?" Then I realized I must sound crazy. I said, "Forget it, man. Go on about your business." "Go on about your business." I'm in the zone. I'm listening to my "I Belong to You," and I'm on my boat. I got my cotton. I got my boat drink. I'm a happy man. He said, "Man, what song?" "Oh, oops." So, "Forget it. You must not be on the boat." So,
okay.
I just wanted to thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to thank you because your work.
Mm-hmm.
Your work it definitely has an impact. It's soothing for me. It's very, very soothing, relaxing. I enjoy it immensely. So thank you again.
Thank you so much, John.
Oh,
and you have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
You too.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
All right.
That was so sweet. Man, look at me. I just feel so, you know, I got tingles all over to know that somebody appreciates what you write. Because, you know, when you're writing, to be an artist, you take a lot of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be strong-minded and will to be proud of what you are creating. And I know that's true among all artists. There are some people that say, "I don't like this," or "Why you wrote this," and stuff. And
right.
So it's just a privilege to hear and the honor, and feel so good to hear somebody say, you know, "I really like that, and that's a theme song of man in my fantasy."
Mm-hmm.
And that just was great. That was just because he had me believing he really had a boat.
Shoot, he had me believing he had a boat.
Yeah, I could visualize his nice boat, and wow, I was like, "Oh, he didn't even tell his name on the boat."
Well, shoot, after all that, the boat ought to be called Maddie, huh? Well,
yeah.
Well, maybe it should be called Flavor Maddie.
Okay, and when he told me he was in them commercials that, you know, "I'll get on the white linen soon," I'm like, "All right now. All right, ladies, I know y'all want me to ask this." Okay, I'm going to do Lady Flavor a favor.
You are funny.
Everybody likes to look at something nice, huh?
Oh, yeah, and he's a good looking man. I'll have to send you John's page on Facebook. He's a good looking man, definitely.
I have a son that's in cinematography, and maybe when he's just graduating in June, and he does a lot of commercials and stuff. He's just, you know, starting out, and maybe he can come up with a sitcom and cast John in it, okay?
There you go.
You know,
it's so funny because it's amazing the connections that have taken place, honestly, on my radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John, you know, is working with some other artists that he met on, you know, my radio shows, collaborating with somebody, you know, on a project out here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all kinds of stuff. So, you know what? Anything's possible. I mean, I met you through your niece who lives here in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, Felicia, you know. Yes. So, I mean, yeah, you just never know. So I want to jump into another track, Maddie, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And let's see. I think I want to – oh, you know what? I want to play this because the last time I played it on my show, some people were going, So I'm going to play Big Tall Black Man by Maddie. That was big, tall black man by my guest tonight, Matte.
You know what? It's so many stories going on in that one song. We couldn't resist not doing it, you know, first of all, a lot of families, the woman is working. And, you know, it's okay to be a husband at home, tending to the children and doing all the cleaning. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's what she's looking forward to. You know, when she gets off from work, you know, I got this wonderful man at home, and he's going to rub my feet and just send them children down to Mama's house. And Mama said, oh, here they come again. They might as well spend the night because you know they're going to stay anyway. Mm-hmm. I know I've done it to my mother, and I know a lot of people can relate to that. And a lot of us, one of the guys in the studio that we were cutting that day, he was like, oh, I got to hear that song because my son dropped my grandson off last week, and I ain't seen him yet. And that was 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my goodness. That's so funny.
Yeah, we had to, you know, the same, Oscar Smith, we were all in the studio messing around, and we just started, you know, and I said, Oscar, I got the lyrics to that. And that's how that song came about.
Okay.
And everybody in the studio could relate to that because we've done it to our mother, or our auntie, or
right.
our grandmother. So we had to put it down. Yeah.
That's funny because, I have to raise my hand because I did it to my parents. And you know what? The funny thing is when I became a mother, mm-hmm. my mother used to laugh at me.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, this is payback now, Susan.
Yeah.
You know, but.
She used to say, I hope I be living when I get to see your turn. Okay.
But,
and I've had my turn. My daughter would pull up, my poor little grandson would come knocking on the door, and she'd be in the driveway, you know, raise her in. And the minute you pop that door, he's like, Mommy say I should stay with you. And we're like, boom, 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 bye, gone. You'd be like, I got something. She's gone. Come on in, baby, poor baby. Loan that big old backpack. Mm-hmm. And he got enough clothes to last him 2 weeks.
Right. Right.
I think we've all done that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
We went all the way back old school because Kool-Aid was a popular thing in our house, you know, popular drink in our house. So,
right.
You know, dad's going, hey, husband's going, hey, I'll bring some Kool-Aid. I'll stop by and get some chicken and some Kool-Aid, you know. So,
right.
You know, it's fun. We want to make people laugh, too, you know.
It's so funny because, you know, when I moved, you know, because I recently moved, that I recycled all my jars.
Uh-huh.
And so now that I've moved, I had to save me a jar the other day. So I have my one red Kool-Aid jar now.
Okay.
I had to because I was looking at that jar when I emptied it out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to save this.
I know that's right.
I don't
got
have
to have that red Kool-Aid. And, you know what, I think anybody has never experienced Kool-Aid. You don't know what you're missing.
Right.
You know, that's the drink.
It was.
What are they now, what, a nickel? They used to be a nickel pad.
They used to. I think they're like up to, like, I don't know, 50 cents out here or something.
Wow.
I mean, it's like something crazy.
That's high.
You know,
that
you,
is so high.
You get lucky if you got it for like 10 for a dollar or something like that.
Yeah.
No,
but
I still buy Kool-Aid.
Yeah, we use a lot of Kool-Aid. You can make gallons of it and fill and fill a multitude of people. You know, you're like, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you can make it as sweet as you want to or as sour
right.
as you want to.
Exactly.
That's the magic drink right there.
It is. That's so funny. I love your stories. I love your music, you know, because it is like, you know, I mean, do people even sit down, Matte, and just even tell those family stories anymore? You know?
I think the times that they do it, I truly believe, is when you've lost somebody.
Right.
And that's when they find the time to get together and talk
right.
about those old memories and stuff. And I would encourage anybody, if you've got a senior in the family, it'll be nice if you can get them a tape recorder of something and tape your old family stories and stuff, or just as a family get together and have each family record their memorable story about one person in that house or
right.
or some family member. And because I truly believe, like you said, it's a book in everybody.
There
you
is.
Know? Mm-hmm. And I think if they do that, I think the families will get closer together. You know, we're going to have our sibling rivalries. We're going to have our arguments and stuff. But, you know, when those Thanksgivings comes around and birthdays and funerals, that's when families get together. And I think they still share, you know, the stories about one another. Because my classmate, and he's extended family, he emailed me a story. And I'm like, boy, I forgot all about that. I'm not ready for that. That wasn't me. You know, you must have got me messed up with my sister. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, people still talk about them. You know, and I'm hoping they exist. They exist, and I think people still do them. Mm-hmm. Even our families have changed. Family structure has changed quite a bit.
I think the family structure has changed, and I don't know. I guess when you tell the stories, it makes me kind of miss a time that, you know, used to exist. It seems like not even that long ago, maybe, say, 10 years ago for me, mm-hmm. where you know, the family would get together on Sundays at my Aunt Mary's, you know, for Sunday dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't happen anymore, you know.
And why doesn't happen anymore,
you know? Right. I think that, I don't know. You know what? I'll be honest. I think that people, even, you know, within the family became selfish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't, it used to be where everybody was always there for each other.
Yeah.
You know, everybody went to church.
Uh-huh.
You know, my Uncle Perry's the preacher of the church, you know, that I, you know, I go to. And, you know, everybody would, we'd go to church and
uh-huh.
fellowship, and then we would go to Aunt Mary's for dinner.
Uh-huh. For dinner. Uh-huh.
You know, and we all brought a dish, and we, you know, all the kids, they knew. As soon as we were done eating, they went in the kitchen and did the dishes.
Uh-huh.
You know, but it... that doesn't happen anymore, and it kind of made me sad, you know. But then I built a business, and so I was so busy with my own business
yeah. mm-hmm.
that I didn't have the time to be there, and I was at my coffee shop, you know,
mm-hmm.
on Sundays too, so I wasn't able to be there. But even, like, you know, I don't see people, like, posting about family reunions anymore like they used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, south now. I don't know about, you know, the north, but, you know, and this is a personal thing that I'm going to share with you, is that I just experienced that, and usually I'm the one that plans the reunion. And since I'm no longer in Florida, they had called me one day, and it's like, well, Maddie, we're not going to have that this year. You know, that's what they call me at home, Maddie. Instead, some of them call me Matte. Anyway,
okay.
I'm like, what? Don't stop doing that because I'm not there. Please, please
right.
don't do that. So, because it's important for you to stay together. It's important for you to see each other. And it's important for the seniors in the family to see you. And, you
right.
know, and I talked to one of the seniors the other day, and she was saying, well, they don't come around here. And you tell them they're more than welcome to come, and just let me know a day ahead of time so I can fix something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about if you don't do it, you're missing out some of the best meals that you've
right.
ever had in your life and the best conversation. You know,
right.
we talk about old times. We talk about what the baby just started doing. We talk about what we're doing in our lives. And you know, you might even, and not saying that you want to benefit from it, but sometimes talking to family could help you. You know, well, you know, so-and-so lost his job. Well, you know, it's a job available at my company, and
sure.
why don't I tell so-and-so? I think that we need to get back to that. You know, that's very important to stay grounded, and it keeps you grounded. So I was asking him, I said, please, please, just because I'm not there, don't stop doing it. Please do it. Please have this. And
right.
matter of fact, I'll call my family and say, hey, Aunt Eva wants to see you. Go out to the farm, have some dinner. You know, let her know ahead there. Because that's very important that you see family like that. But, you know, we grow up in a time now where the mothers are getting younger.
Right.
The grandmothers are getting younger. And the great-grandmothers are even younger.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all doing their own thing.
Right.
And they don't have time. And then, you know, and, you know, I have to kind of come to a lot of people's defense is that times are so hard where it's taken two and three people to have an income in the household. So we kind of spread it kind of thin. And, you know, to keep a job, you're willing to do what you have to do to keep it.
Right.
And a lot of times that means taking away from the family. But it's important that you at least set aside some kind of time to be with the family, to know what's going on. You know, because I used to say, I travel so much, I used to say, God, when did that happen?
Mm.
It makes me feel so bad. Well, why didn't somebody tell me?
Okay.
You know, I don't, that happens.
Right.
That happens, yeah. But, you know, it's a beautiful thing to see the family get together on Sunday and talk. And it's usually because that one glue. It's what I call the seniors who do that. The glue may be missing.
Right.
And you have to just keep on the legacy, you know. Lady Flavor, maybe you need to take up the torch and say, okay, even though I'm working this Sunday and that Sunday, maybe the third Sunday of every month, I'm going to put on some recorded shows and I'm going to have dinner with my family.
Right. And, well, you know, and the sad thing is that, you know, Maddie, we lived in a big house, and it was four generations of my family living in this big house, and, you know, we weren't able to keep it, and so that's where I moved from. So we all now live separate.
Separate houses.
And so now I live in an apartment, you know, on my own. This is my first time I've ever lived on my own, and so my daddy had said to me the other day, which made me really sad, my daddy said, you know, where are we going to do Easter dinner?
Oh.
And I was like, you know, I don't have space in my new place, you know, for my family, you know. And he lives in a studio apartment, and my daughter lives in a studio apartment.
Everybody's
you know,
down south.
Everybody. And so it's like, where are we going to cook? Because my girls and I always cook for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I don't know, you know. And, you know, then my son Michael was like, you know, if there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Cook a couple of dishes. Your daughter cook a couple of dishes. And if dad doesn't cook, tell dad to order a couple of dishes. or don't worry. I usually don't try to put the older people out unless they're really experienced cooks. And just meet at a park or something.
Yeah, Michael's right, you know, if there's a will, there's a way, because that's something I've always loved to do. You know, I've always loved the holidays, especially my daughters, because my daughter Brittany and Mariko and Tamiko, if she's able to come up, you know, we all cook together, you know, and just have, you know, a good time. And so this will be like the first year of not having a big home, you know, to do that in. But, you know, we'll work it out. And
yeah,
I miss that. I miss those things. You know, when I listen to your music and I hear your stories, it reminds me of times that we had in the family where, you know, like you said, you know, you would sit down with the elders and stuff and you'd hear the story. And, you know, if somebody, you know, in the family knew about a job, you know, Uncle Virgil worked at the post office, you know, maybe there was an opening there or whatever, or just helping, you know, our young person who's unemployed, even tap into what other things that they're good at to see what they might be able to create to supplement their income until they found employment. Or, you know, you never know, it may turn into something just like what you and John did, you know, in creating, you know, an actual business that's now thriving. So, I mean, I think, you know, like John and you and I talked about, Matty, I think, you know, that sense of family just really, really needs to come back. We talk so much about what's happened in our communities and society and families with their young people. It starts at home, though. It really does.
It really does.
It starts at home.
Because kids now, they, I know even myself, I want to know where did I get my hair from and why are my eyes the color they are or why do I do certain things. And John said the other day that our granddaughter came by and she started out sleeping in my bed, and then she gets out of the bed and she goes to the living room and she gets on the couch and she takes a nap on the couch and watch television, and she gets up again, go gets us something to eat, and she goes sit in a recliner. And you know what he said? I told her, your grandmother does that. You are just like your grandmother. And see, those are the things, particularly when kids need an identity or want to know where they come from or who they belong to or why do I do things like that. That family can give them that education and knowledge about you belong here, you belong to us, and we're going to love you unconditionally. Because that's what most kids and most people, adults, are looking for nowadays, is someone to love them. And what better place to get it from is family.
Exactly.
You know, they're going to love you if you're rotten, if you smell bad, whatever. They're going to love you. You know, it's like, yeah, she talks a lot, but we love her. You know?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That's what I love to write about. It's just, you know, my real things, real stories, real people, real life stories. That's what I want to write about. I even write screenplays, and hopefully one day I'll see them on the screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, my son, that's why he went to cinematography, because they were making movies when they were little bitty boys. So that was his dream. So hopefully one day you'll see my stories on screen.
That's great. Well, you never know. I mean, it's just like John Green who called in. You know, I mean, I don't think he ever thought he would end up becoming an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but as you know, being a musician and singer, songwriter and all of that, you know, that it was just like, okay, you know, when is the CD going to really, you know, take off, this, that, and the other? And he went to an audition one day, and he's now been, you know, filming for the last 3 months.
Oh, that's great.
You know,
that's
so
wonderful.
And I don't think he ever thought that, you know, something like that would end up happening. So
that's a wonderful story. That can inspire somebody who's dreaming, because, you know, a lot of people say you're too young, you're too old, you're too this, you're too that, you're too fat, you're too skinny. If you just keep at it and keep praying, keep working at it, then it will come. At least you can say, I gave it my best shot. You know, and that's a great story of John's to tell somebody, because he kept at it, and it dropped in his lap.
Mm-hmm. It did. It literally dropped in his lap, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he, you know, he even took in his music, you know, gave him a copy of a CD. You know, he's been approached about writing a score for a movie, and
what
I mean, all kinds of stuff, you know. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. But, Maddie, we have a caller on the line again that has their hand raised.
Okay. Nick.
Oh.
All
Hi.
Right.
Hey, this is Theodore. This is Mate's son.
Uh-oh.
That's what I was just talking about.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey,
I know you
don't
want nobody to know I call you that, but hi, honey.
It's all good.
Okay, good.
I just called in. So I just called in to show my support. You know, my mom, she's very talented. I'm trying to showcase my talent too. So I support her every step of the way. I know she's gonna blow up and show people how to really make music. You know.
Oh, that's so sweet. Now, how much do you want me to send you? I want it, Lady Flav. I want to know how much that costs me. I'm just kidding.
Oh, you can put that check in the mail. You can put that check in the mail.
Okay.
You can put that in the mail.
Yeah. So that's my theater.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's my theater. That's the one I was telling you about that does the cinematography.
Okay.
And he's pretty good at it. I'm real proud of him. Yeah.
Okay. So
likewise.
You've been working on things like that right now?
Oh, it's Keith Park. We got a bad connection. But, you know, this goes back to family. We've been talking about family. Well, each one of our sons have dedicated or targeted something to come back to help to the cause of the family. You know,
okay.
Beatrice in cinematography. Neil is running the company, the record company. Lil John is DJ. And
okay.
He travels a lot. And then Clifton is what he's in travel, so he makes all of our travel arrangements and stuff. He's air traffic. And then Latricia, our daughter, does everything computer wise, technology wise.
Okay.
And Theodore is responsible for my CD cover. And
he is
the one that developed the website.
Okay.
So that's another sense of family, you know.
Definitely.
Put your support about, that's what we were just talking about, is putting your support behind a family member that's really trying to do something and be
definitely.
There for them. And, it is set, and then we teach them, you have to reach back and help your brother and your sister too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what those meetings, those real important dinners bring about
right.
on Sunday.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Theodore, now, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, well, you're doing something. We can hear you, too.
Oh. Now, I'm sitting here watching clothes, and I look on Facebook, and I saw the number, so I decided to call.
Okay. Now, Lady Faber, you're reaching all the way to Tampa, Florida.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Well, you know,
Okay, Lady Faber, don't blow up too big, and then you forget about us.
The thing is, Theodore, it's all about blowing up together.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
And then,
I like the sound of that.
You know, blowing up together, and then I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, but, you know, there was a John D. Green Sr. that plans on getting a boat, you know, and we're going to, you know, end up on John D. Green Sr.'s boat as we all blow up together.
Okay.
That's right. We as people, we need to reach back to our family. If you look at people that's in Europe, people that's overseas, they always look out for their family. And you notice how everyone in their families were better off when one person in that family gets some sort of success. A lot
right.
of blacks in America, they once they blow up, oh, forget about my family. Oh, it's all about me, 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 and me. And then when they're
right.
at the top, they're lonely. You know, I would rather anybody in my family blow up and just show us love. You know, if I blow up, everybody's going to be good because I'm just that type of person. I'm more family-oriented because
mm-hmm.
if your family's not tight, if you're not tight with your family, you're not connected with yourself and you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have your strong backbone and your family around you to keep you grounded because all those fake people that's just around for success is not.
Right.
There's no substance to it. You know?
Right. I have to agree with you, Theodore. You raised him very well, Matte.
Thank you. And he's single.
And he's single.
And he's single.
Are you 50?
Walks on the beach.
Are you 50?
Not quite 50, but I have a 50-year-old mind.
Oh. Okay.
Uh-oh.
I think we need to get out the phone.
Oh, Lord.
Listen, we need to let him.
Lord.
Yeah, because he's like, my son's like older women.
So do you rub feet? No.
only if they clean feet. I don't just mess with anything. I'm very discriminative with feet I touch. You know?
but your mama was talking about, you know, how if you're in the family, you know, it's like, you know,
oh,
you just love
yeah,
everybody,
yeah.
even if they smell and stuff.
I don't know. But,
yeah, that's called unconditional love.
See, well, my love is conditioned because I don't rub no smelly feet.
Okay.
That's completely out of the question.
He's like, wow.
I can help you take a bath with it. You know, them feet clean, but I can't touch. I can't. That's, you know.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
my
we
God.
Know where you have made your point clear, okay?
All right.
Thank you, Theodore. Thank you, honey, for calling in and looking to see you in Memphis, okay?
Okay, yeah, I should be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Hopefully.
All right, see you. Say goodbye to Lady Flavor.
Well, Theodore.
Oh, bye, Lady Flavor. Yes, ma'am.
Theodore, stay in touch. I want to, you know, I want to keep up with, you know, what you're doing, you know, and, you know, your creativity and everything. Any way that we can support what you're doing, I want to do that.
Okay. Yeah, right. Sure. And we can do a 2020 type interview
okay.
where I'm on the camera. And then we both blow up.
See?
I'm telling you, don't get the
there
big
you
head.
Go.
Just remember that. That's
okay. I promise. I'm going to stay
all
grounded.
Right.
All right. Take care, darling.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay.
That's so cute. He's probably like, what did Lady Flavor just say to me? You're like, he's single. I'm like, okay.
They like older women, okay? Okay.
That's funny.
That's
all
I got to say. Yeah, because they're into learning and family, and they want to be taught some things, you know?
Is that what you're teaching them?
Yeah.
The truth comes out, Mate.
Okay, okay.
See, you're trying to front on us, huh? No.
Okay.
No, but you know what?
He surprised me.
He in himself spoke some wisdom though,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's very right. So, you know, you can definitely tell that, you know, you guys have raised him well, you know, and that he understands the value of family. He understands the commitment, you know, to family and the importance of it. And I think that's a beautiful thing. What a wonderful, you know, surprise to have your son call in.
Yeah, they used to have their own rooms and stuff, and we uh-huh. like, and somehow, I don't care what, even when we would travel, we'd get different rooms, so we put two sons in one room, two sons here, and the girls would be with us, the church mm-hmm. would be with us, and somehow, they would wind up in the same room. They'd be on the floor, they'd be everywhere, because they would be there talking and laughing and playing, and they would fall asleep. And so eventually we stopped getting that extra room because they were going to wind up in the same room with each other. And that's what
right.
they do today. And, you know, one thing that I can say is that John has a great communication with his sons. And they sit and talk, and daughter, they sit mm-hmm. and talk. And I heard them talking about their dad one day, and, oh, wow, I don't know if I should say this. John's going to kill me. The boys are going to kill me, but I'm just driving. And one of them had gotten some trouble, you know, financial trouble. So the other guy, the other brother was like, okay, did you tell dad yet? He said, no, I ain't told dad. He was like, man, you just need to tell dad. You know he's going to rant and rave, but when it come down to it, dad is going to figure out how to fix it.
Right.
When it comes down to it. And I was like, oh, so they was like, they called him Koozie. You haven't been Koozie-nized yet? We're going to get your medicine. And I was like, what y'all talking about, daddy? You know, going to get your medicine because he's going to rant and rave and he's going to talk about you real bad. But once he comes down, he's going to say, okay, this is the best way we're going to have to handle this. And,
right.
and that's what family is about. And I was so proud to say that, you know, that they do have a communication going. You know, we're not perfect and we don't pretend to be perfect.
Right.
But, you know, it happens. It's life. So I was just proud that he was there and he's still there for his sons.
Sure.
You know, and they didn't have to go to some gang or something and find
right.
some manhood.
Right.
You know, so I'm happy. And they still stick together. They call each other, and I have one son that's in San Antonio, Texas, and
okay.
boy, was they on him.
Okay.
You don't call, and man, so now John said, okay, I'll do better. And that's what they've been doing, you know. So, being at home helped a lot. I'm not suggesting that it was better, and it was
mm-hmm.
just a thing that we had to do. you know, and they were all I had, and we wanted to protect them and teach them, you know. And I'm very proud of all of them. Like I tell them, we all going to make mistakes. That's a part of growing, is what you take with that, you know, that makes
right.
a difference. Uh-huh.
Well, I think that it's okay, you know, to have some, like, I was going to say fear of dad in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you know that he has expectations, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to disappoint or whatever. But at the same time, you know, to be encouraged to share it with dad and then, you know in the end he's going to give you some, you know, advice on
mm-hmm.
how to really, you know, handle the situation. And I think there's beauty in that. I think that it's okay, you know, to have some fear of parents. You know, but in the end, you know that they love you and they have only your best interests at heart, you know, so.
Well, you know, I found out the hard way. When we had our first daughter, I was so busy, trying to be a friend. And I realized that children grow up with friends, and you know how they come in and they've got their little best friend on their arm, and they say,
mm-hmm.
"Mommy, we're best friends." And then next week they come in, and then you say, "Okay, what happened to you?" But oh, we're not friends anymore.
Right. Right.
So I realized then is that I need to be a parent first. You know, you have to find some kind of balance. I was scared to curse in front of my mother and father. I was scared for my parents to find out anything about me. And the neighbors didn't mind calling to say, you know, Estelle,
right.
Maddie, I saw Maddie throw her report card in the garbage. My sister actually did that. And
okay.
the lady went and got the report card and brought it
mm-hmm.
to my mom. See, we used to have that kind of extended family going on.
Right. Oh,
but
yeah.
my mother said, and my dad said, "Don't you ever embarrass us again." That
right.
was an embarrassment to the family.
Right.
And so I think that we have stopped expecting the kids or us to be better. And parents wanted us to be better. And we didn't want to disappoint them.
Right.
You know, that was always
right.
the fear, oh, don't let daddy. My mom used to say this, "Well, if I can't have you, daddy can." You know, you just
right.
wait till your father get home.
Right.
I'll make him the bad
right.
one. But we knew that when we must have really done something serious if she couldn't handle it.
Right.
You know, and it's not because she couldn't handle it. She was saying, "Okay, you've got an ally, and I need to call in an ally."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's
right.
what, you know, it's okay to have fear in your children. I'm not talking about beat them down or anything.
No, right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And I think that, you know, I was blessed to have that, you know, coming up with, you know, two parents. And my mother was, you know, was a stay-at-home mom. And so, you know, I was really lucky, you know, but unfortunately with me, I've always had to work. And so when I closed my coffee house in 2008, you know, it almost was like a blessing because I got to really become grandma,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, Monday through Friday, I watch, you know, my grandchildren, my son's son and my daughter's daughter, you know, while they work. And stuff, and I really, really enjoy it. You know, I work part-time with at-risk homeless youth on weekends, you know, but you know, during the week, I'm grandma, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I really, really love, you know, having this opportunity to be with them. You know, my grandson, Sean, he's 8 years old now, and he's like, I take him to school, you know, and I pick him up, and he always hugs me and kisses me, and he says, "I really love you, Grandma."
Oh.
And you know, and I'm like, you know, is
don't
this
you
like
just
normal?
Want a milk?
I do. And sometimes I laugh at him, and he said to me the other day, "Grandma, why are you laughing at me?" I was like, "Because you're so cute." I'm just like, it's like, is this like real that you just like love me so much? It's almost like how you said to your son, you know, "Well, how much do you want? You know, what do you know?" Whatever. And it's like, okay, like, is this like real? That, because he just like gives me those really deep hugs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. And he's not afraid to like hug and kiss me in front of his school. You know,
no,
and I'm like,
no, this is my grandma.
I'm like, okay.
Dude, okay. I'm
like,
to have my grandma, you know.
I'm like, are you still going to be like this at 18, you know?
They do. because you become their confidant, you become their savior, you become their ally, you become, you know, because we're not as hard on them as we are on our own children.
Right.
And your own children will remind you that from time to time. You didn't let me do that. Why are you fight?
Right.
But it's just something about those grandchildren. Something about them is so special. And it's special to see your offspring bring this wonderful person into your life. You know, it's just absolutely beautiful. You know, we fuss about them, you know, when you get on the phone, they've got to talk to, or they're trying to distract you before you can get off.
Right.
I think that is so cute. And my daughter is going, it's annoying. How can you find that cute? It's not anything cute about this. You know?
Or
they're standing with the refrigerator open.
Right.
What grandmama baby looking for? You know? Close the door.
Kimora's 3 years old, right? She knows how to get the stool and get into the freezer. Not only, you know, the refrigerator part, she knows how to get into the freezer.
Now, what's in the freezer? Is it popsicles, ice cream?
An ice cream bar that she can reach that's in the door of the freezer. And I'm like, you are just so sneaky. And, you know, she gives, and then she turns and she winks at me.
Mm.
You're like, you know, like, oh, you think you're cute, huh?
Okay.
Like,
yes, you are. Yeah. Just come to Nana. Nana,
that's
get so, it for you.
Yeah,
and that's what we were talking about, big, tall, black man, you know, because she's like, every time y'all drop these kids off, you know, you don't.
Right.
Y'all never come get them. Y'all know I got to be in the church in the morning. So, you know, that's what I like to write about, real life stories.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think I want to jump into another song.
Okay.
And let's see. I think I want to play, I'm So Lucky.
Okay, really? Okay, that's good.
Is that good?
Okay, yeah. You know,
you're like,
I have a favorite. I have a favorite.
Oh.
Do You Feel Me? I love that one. And This I Can Do. What I try to do on this CD was to touch on any avenue of music. So all of them I love them all.
All right. All right. We'll just flip the script. We'll let Matt call the shot. So,
No.
Would you like me to play Do You Feel Me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to play Do You Feel Me by Matt.
Thank you.
Hey, sweetie. I've been admiring you for a long time. And I know you belong to someone else, but I just want to know this. Do you feel me? Do you hear me? Do you see me? Tell me that.
Every time you
right? That was Do You Feel Me by Matte, who I have just had an absolutely amazing time on the leopard carpet tonight with you. And Matte, before I forget, I just want you to know that there was a gentleman who was listening from the chat room most of the show by the name of Steve Morton, and it's late where he is, and he said he needed to go to bed, but that he just thoroughly enjoyed, you know, listening to your music and, you know, hearing your stories. And now Stephen Jerome Ferguson, he is a jazz musician out of Kansas, and he is now listening, and he says he just loves your music and that you have such a powerful voice.
Thank you. Is he on the line? Is he? Because I would love to hear some of his music. I love that. Just absolutely love that.
Stephen is in the chat room, but you know, he is actually going to be my featured guest tomorrow on a show that I do that's called the All Media Artist Features, and so you know, you definitely, if you're available and can just listen in, he's going to be on the show then. But I play him almost on every show that I do.
Okay.
And he is absolutely amazing. The thing that is consistently said about his music is that it's just very relaxing. And he has a, you know, like this, there's such a calmness to his personality. But, you know, his music is just that kind of music that, you know, you listen to after a hard day and it just relaxes you, you know, and it takes you into a good space, you know. So as he's saying that your music is like feel-good music, you know, his music is just the same.
That's great. Everybody needs some downtime, you know. Everybody needs to relax. Go over to today's events or just block them out and relax.
Exactly.
Everybody needs to take that time, that quiet time. And that's what I do. I put on me some jazz, and I just lay there with the room dark, no lights on, and just listen to the music, and it just takes me away. Yeah, so Lady Flavor, hopefully you'll take my advice with Do You Feel Me and have the courage to walk up to that man that you admire all the time and say, oh, he is so fine. And you scared to say something and say, look here, I really like the way you look. Do you feel me? You know?
Okay, you know, we'll work on that.
Okay.
We're going to work on that.
Don't be afraid, because sometimes we can break the ice. You know, sometimes men are a little hesitant about saying something to a woman, you know. And he's like, you know, because he's scared of rejection. You know, who isn't? So maybe you need to open the ice and say, hey, you know, you sure do look good going to that car. You know, I like to see you getting in that car, getting out that car. Man, I like to see you walking up to your apartment, you know. Do you feel me? Wink, wink, you know.
Oh, you are puffing up. You got me turning red over here. Because I'm kind of visualizing it, Maddie.
Yeah. Hello. Hi. I'm Lady Flavor. Just call me Flavor.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to practice on your son.
Hey, he was trying. He was dropping some hints there. He was like, hey, take a bath and I'll rub your feet. I ain't going there, but you can go take a bath. I might, you know, hey, I feel you.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Honey, oh my goodness, I'm going to have you on my show more frequently. You are just something else. We do have a caller on the line, so let me bring them in.
Okay.
And there was another caller, so I'm hoping that you call back, because I'll bring you in if you do, please.
Okay.
All right, caller from the 206 area code. You are on the air with Matte.
Hi, hello.
Hello. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, I wasn't sure. This is Felicia. I didn't know I was in the queue so fast.
Hi,
ladies.
Felicia. How are you?
How are you?
How are you doing?
The show is really, really good. You ladies are awesome.
We're having a good time, aren't we?
Yes, you are, and I'm just getting a kick out of the smelly feet.
Well, your auntie's sitting here trying to tell me I need to go up to some man and say, do you feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I bet Felicia's got it. Haven't you, Felicia? Haven't you walked up to a guy and said, hey, you look really nice, and I love the way you smell. And he'll go, oh, yeah? You know, and then before you walk out, he'll say, okay, why don't you give me my number and we'll hook up, or here's my card, and we'll hook up, you know? That's one way of letting a man know that you find him attractive. Break the ice.
Yes.
Okay? I know you've done it. Be honest. Be honest.
Yes, you've got to claim it, and it's yours.
There you go. There you go.
That's what Felicia's status is going to be now.
Oh, okay. Yes. Claim it, and it's yours.
Claim it, and it's yours.
I'm going to put it up on Facebook.
Both mouths don't get fed.
I'm going to just put it up on Facebook at my status. Do you feel me? And we'll just see who responds.
Okay. I've gone to the mall with some single girlfriends of mine, and they see this nice guy, and they was like, oh, that's my baby's daddy. I was like, oh, really? Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, go get it, you know? Okay,
oh, my goodness.
That's the way you do it. See, it's no reason for anybody to be single. Okay.
So you don't think that a man would be intimidated by somebody, a woman coming up like that?
No. Because they like to, if you listen to my songs, they like to, and I know you do, men like for you to open that door. You know, a lot of them are afraid to approach because a lot of women are unapproachable.
Yeah,
you
right.
know that you walk
right.
up to, what do you want? Or, oh, you know, you look so
right.
and you know, whatever. But see,
right.
if you walk up and say and you find him attractive, I mean, some of them are a little slow. I hate to say that, but they know they like you. They're a little slow at saying, you know, they're trying to figure out their strategy and everything. So what you're trying to help him along. You just go, hey, you know, oh, you smell delicious. Oh, you smell delightful, or you have the most beautiful smell, or I really like that outfit. You really look nice in that shirt. That shirt becomes you. Open the door. Then he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've been watching you. Oh, you have? Now tell me about it.
So, Stephen Jerome Ferguson, I think this is your cue to call in from Kansas because I want to know if those type of lines would work on you.
They work. Believe me, they work. They work. Okay, just try it, Lady Flavor. You just moved in a new neighborhood, okay? All right, just make sure he's not married, and you look for all the signs, and then you just say, hi.
Okay.
I'm weeding out my flower bed in my window. Would you care to help?
You know, I think your auntie should be a relationship counselor. You know, she just seems to have all the answers between her life stories and her music.
No.
Everybody should be in a relationship.
Yeah, maybe I'm a hopeless romantic, you know, but I think it's romance still exists. And maybe I'm a dreamer, but I know it still exists, you know. There are people who can make you have chills up and down your spine. Their smile just sends you into a whole different world. I truly believe there are people who can make you do that, you know, that
sure.
special woman and that special
right.
man, you know,
no.
that you just, oh, and you just, ooh, ooh, that was
no.
nice.
Oh, no, I agree. I think there are people, you know, out there like that, so.
Don't
hey,
give up
you know,
hope,
I'm
lady.
50 years old, and, you know, anything's possible. You just never know. You never Yeah,
my
okay.
son just told you age ain't nothing but a number in so many words.
As long as you wash your feet.
Yeah, as long as you wash your feet.
I'm not speaking.
Your cousin, Felicia.
Yes. That was so Felicia, funny. Over thanks. There rolling. I was listening the whole time.
Well, Felicia, I want to thank you for turning Lady Flavor on to me. I really appreciate and me on to her. And I thank you so much, and I appreciate you, little niece, okay? I just want you to know that I really appreciate you introducing me to Lady Flavor, okay?
Ma'am, and I know we look forward to some shows in Seattle.
I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get there.
I think that would
it's
be
so
just awesome.
I
already have a list of who I know that I would invite to the events and, you know, who would come, who would really, really enjoy and appreciate, you know, your sound. And I really think that your sound, even though I in talking to you and John before, Mette, you know, it is a sound for somebody my age, you know, definitely. It's something that I truly can appreciate. But I think that if we could get some of the younger people, you know, to really listen and pay attention, I think they'll really feel it and really get the message. Because there's messages in all of your music, you know. There's stories. And so I think that if we could get them to pay attention, they may understand, you know, where they need to try to go to. And, you know, because I wouldn't say necessarily get back to, because maybe it's not something they were really raised with, some of them.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think
you know,
they can get the message.
Your new artists are going that way now, you know. They're reaching back because that is it, you know. Stories are it, and positive. I mean, look where R. Kelly's taking you now.
Nice.
And, you know, he's when a man what loves a woman or when a woman loves a man. Alicia Keys sounds
mm-hmm.
like that. But, you know, it's not – you have to go back to your roots, and that's where it all begins. And that's where I want my children to be able to be proud of their mother and my grandchildren. And
right.
years after that, they can go back and say, oh, well, she was clean, you know. Her music
right.
was clean. I want everybody, I don't want you to get embarrassed when you play my music and
right.
you have to, you know, petition the children out of the room or your grandmother or
right.
your great-grandmother, your uncles and aunts. I want everybody to be able to listen to it because, you know, I love to write about real things that are happening in our lives, you know, and everybody's life because I think anybody can relate to what I'm saying. You know?
Oh, definitely.
I write about real life. Yeah, you know, and it goes to this I can do. You know,
right.
I even on my CD, I'm even giving it back to God. Thank you
right.
for
right.
my life.
Right.
You know, thank you for my family.
Exactly.
Thank you for me being here and what's happening to me. So this whole CD was put together as a story, and all of it connects, you know, and it starts with family.
Right.
You know, the ones who produced it. Mm-hmm.
Well, since you mentioned This I Can Do, you know, let me play that before the show ends, Mette.
Okay.
All right. So this is a special song that Mette's been talking about, and this is This I Can Do.
Ooh.
Song. Maddie, I want to thank you so very much for, you know, spending the last 2 hours with me and just sharing your wonderful stories, you know, your sense of family and relationship and commitment. And these are messages that I want everybody to pay attention to, because I think that just with your story and just with this show, I think, you know, you can make a difference in other people's lives. I want to thank everybody who came out, excuse me, to listen to this show live, to those that hung out in the chat room, and to those several people that hung out on the phones tonight and, you know, got to hear the story of Matte and, you know, get a taste of her flavor. So, Matte, tell people where they can find your music.
Okay, they can find it at www.highpyramid.com, and you can get it from iTunes or DigStation. So you can link onto that, and you can order one song, two songs, or all of them, or the whole album. So you can download it, or you can get a hard copy. And it's www.highpyramid.com. And thank you so much, Lady Flavor, for having me, and I've had a blast.
This was just an absolutely amazing experience. I mean, it was, you know, it was great fun, but Maddie, you were a blessing, you know. And I know I didn't mention this earlier in the show, and I just want to mention it now. I send my love and my hugs out to you and your family, you know, at the time of your loss of your mother. And so,
thank you.
You know, I appreciate the fact that you still wanted to come and do the show with me. And, you know, I feel a sense of love and sisterhood with you, and I really, really appreciate that. And I look forward to getting to know you and John, you know, better and being able to support you in any way that I can.
Thank you, Lady Flavor. You already have. Thank you so much for having me. And I look forward to coming to Seattle and do a performance for everybody. So get me in there. I appreciate it.
Oh, Felicia, you and I will work on that, won't we, girlfriend?
Yes, ma'am, we will.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. So I'm going to close out the show and play another piece by Matte, and this is You Make Me Feel Like Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
have been listening to On the Leopard Carpet with Lady Flavor, and tonight my special guest was Matty. You heard me play several of the tracks from her new CD, which is titled Sincerely, I'm Yours, and that last track was called You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. I highly suggest that if you missed the whole show, that come back and listen to the archives. This was an absolutely amazing experience to share this time with Matty and, you know, hear her stories. And that sense of family, that sense of commitment, and that sense of just going back to the way that it used to be, I think that's really an okay thing. So thank you. Help spread the word. Tomorrow I will be back with another show, the All Media Artist Features, with my dear friend Stephen Jerome Ferguson. Good night. Take care. And God bless.